All week, we've been hearing these comparisons between the fall of Kabul and the 1975 fall of Saigon. The early images were eerily similar, but scholars and experts on the subject say politically they were very different situations. Saigon, the then South Vietnamese capital, fell to the communist government of North Vietnam in 1975, 2 years after its ally, the U.S., withdrew troops, marking the end of the Vietnam War. Kabul, the Afghan capital, on the other hand, fell to the Taliban in the middle of U.S. troops withdrawing after 20 years of war sparked by 9/11. Our next guest, however, says comparisons on how the U.S. embraced refugees from Vietnam should be explored to understand what's ahead as thousands of Afghan refugees make their way to this country. Ngoc Nguyen is a journalist who has been covering the Vietnamese-American community for two decades. In 1975, when Ngoc was a baby, she and her family escaped Saigon as refugees and restarted their lives here in the U.S. And Ngoc joins us now from San Francisco. Welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you, Tanya, for having me.
Yeah, thank you for being here. Before we get into your story, I want to ask you first, what feelings come up for you as you watch what's unfolding in Afghanistan?
Well, it is beginning to be more emotional for me and my family. I have been, you know, talking to my mom and other family members, and they're saying that it's so much like when they left Saigon. And I know the turmoil and chaos of that time, and I know how much that moment was so definitive in the course of their lives. You know, so it's bringing back a flood of memories, I'm sure, for the community. And not to mention just all the other Afghan Americans and so many other communities in the United States.
Right. Many other refugee and immigrant communities. As you mentioned, you were a baby when your family arrived here in the United States. Tell us a little bit more about your family's personal story getting out of Saigon.
Sure. My father was a South Vietnamese naval officer, and things were very chaotic in the lead up before April 30th, 1975. That's the day where my dad was able to get my mom, me, his mom, onto a ship that was in a repair yard. It actually had only 2 out of 4 engines working, but he was desperate, and so many refugees were desperate. So he and a kind of a skeleton crew were able to get that ship out of the Saigon River. That ship could hold about 2,000 people, and it was full. When it got out to sea, we were so fortunate because there were U.S. ships, naval ships out there to help us to get to an island that was off the coast of Vietnam. And then from there, we sailed to Subic Bay, Philippines. And then after a brief stay there, our family went to Guam. And that was a staging area, or it was a site where the refugees could be safely held while their paperwork was being processed to come to the United States.
Right. The U.S. military then had 4 bases set up as camps in 1975 to welcome refugees in California and Florida, Pennsylvania and Arkansas. And that's where you ended up, you and your family in Arkansas. And you've been able to learn more about what life was like there just recently, of course, talking with your mom, but by combing through old clippings of a newspaper that was produced by refugees and military members. How would you describe what life was like for refugees back then?
Well, this newspaper is really remarkable because it's almost provides a time capsule. So there's information there about, you know, things like, oh, you know, you need to report to this bungalow or barrack to get medical checks, to get your vaccinations, things that people are going to need if they're going to resettle in a new country. You know, these are typical customs of Americans. These are typical greetings. There were news bulletins by all kinds of organizations, you know, the Red Cross, Catholic Charities. There were representatives from other countries. You can meet officials from these Latin American countries who are here to see if there are any Vietnamese who have skills in raising livestock or in agriculture who would like to go to resettle in these countries and begin, you know, and have a new livelihood. There were all kinds of really interesting tidbits like that.
You know, this brings up for me questions about how welcoming Americans were. After your family left that camp in Arkansas, you were matched with a sponsor family in Michigan. How have you been thinking about the Americans, the Good Samaritans, I guess, so to speak, and how they helped you get a fresh start, and the moment that we're in now and the feelings that we have and the polarization that we're experiencing in our country. It's something that we're not talking about, but I think we're all thinking about as Afghans make their way to this country.
Yeah, so our family left the camps after several months, my mom said, about in the fall. We were sponsored by a family to Brethren, Michigan, and they helped by renting, you know, a house for us, a three-bedroom house, by providing us with a used car, by bringing pots and pans to the house, sometimes even food, by being our friends. So that is remarkable. The second point I want to make, Tanya, is that the process of resettling the Southeast Asian immigrants was very efficient. I mean, in a matter of 6 months, 50,000 refugees were matched with families or organizations all over the United States. That just shows you the generosity of Americans. Yes, there was a lot happening during that time, and President Ford, who was happened under his administration, he had to convince Congress and the American people that this process would happen very efficiently, and it did. And I think one of the interesting things is that he was able to get this to happen so quickly was that the refugees were not technically classified as refugees. They were actually classified as parolees.
Oh, this is interesting because we're all learning the complicated nature of refugee resettlement and immigration in our country. With this situation in Afghanistan, both Democratic and Republican lawmakers are criticizing President Biden for not acting quickly enough to get Afghans out. With this new batch of Afghan refugees, thousands will be entering on U.S. special immigrant visas. That process could take years. What is your message to those in power and really the American people, knowing what your family and many others have been through as refugees as they try to manage this crisis?
I think that the most important thing is to make sure that they're doing everything that they can to work as quickly as possible to get those Afghan civilians who aided U.S. military to the United States as soon as possible. And whether that's ensuring that there are safe, you know, way stations or places for them to go as they're being processed, I think that is very important. You know, I think the other thing that I would say is that oftentimes we are left with just very few images of the refugees. It's usually from Vietnam, people hanging off helicopters, right, on one very eventful day. But it's beyond those types of images. There's really so much more because the time that the refugees will spend becoming Americans for the decades after that, it's just has a very long tail. And we also can't forget that the refugees, we don't really get to hear about them and their stories and their dreams and their struggles. This is part of the reason that I'm looking back at the newspaper, because I want to know what they were thinking. How did they want to remake their lives? What did they want? Sometimes their desires are more immediate, but they're thinking long-term, believe me. So they have a voice, and we forget about their own political agency.
Hmm. What is your message to them, to the Afghans who will be arriving to our new strange land this week and next week and the weeks to come?
Well, I hope that the Americans will welcome them and take the time to understand where they've been and what their history has been, to kind of think a little bit about how they arrived here, how momentous it is for them, and you know, to leave their homeland and to come to America. It is really life-changing, and they are going to be part of the fabric of America at some point, just the way that the Vietnamese Americans have now become part of the fabric of America.
Ngoc Nguyen is a journalist who has been covering the Vietnamese American community for two decades. She and her family escaped Vietnam after the fall of Saigon in 1975 and restarted their lives as refugees here in the United States. Ngoc, thank you so much for sharing your story.
It's my pleasure, Tanya. Thank you.